Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
They were
matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, if I were Zubin Mihenta and Matt Vasgersian on Sunday Night Baseball last night, you know what you do with this song, Arcan?
Celtic expectations are sky high, am I right? They are sky high for this Celtics team. Oh, boy. No LeBron James in the East means it is sky high expectations. They can touch the sky.
Pull up in the spot looking extra fly.
It's the fourth and final hour. Adam Jones, Christian Arcan, in for Zoe and Beadle, taking you up until 2 o'clock with your phone calls. 617-779-0985. Is that scary to hear, Celtics fans? No. Now we can't just win 50 games and get to the playoffs and consider it a successful year? We actually have to do something now? We actually have to win? No one told me that. We got to win something now? What? Did you know this? Did you know that? Brad Stevens has to actually win something? What? Who? What is this? Is this in the fine print? I haven't poured through this yet. They actually have to win something? What? Huh? I thought it was just win 50 games, get to the playoffs, and then everything else is gravy. Now you're telling me they gotta win? They gotta get to the NBA Finals? Everything else is a joke? I have to criticize them? I have to watch them critically? What? Like that, I can feel Celtics fans squirming. I can feel it, Arcan.
Yeah.
You want to... It's like, yes.
I'm getting angry tweets already.
Yes, LeBron's gone. Yes. Like, that was their initial reaction to it. But now it's like, oh, no, wait a minute. You can't lose to Philly and then spin it as a success.
You can't lose to
Milwaukee or Indiana or, you know, any of the... You can't spin any of that as a success. Okay? You can't do it. You now need to go out there and back it up. It's not the scrappy Celtics getting to an Eastern Conference final and lo and behold winning a game somehow without Isaiah Thomas 2 years ago. It's not getting to a game seven again somehow without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. Now you got to actually go do it. Now you're on the clock to go win one. You're on deck after Golden State. I don't expect you to beat the Warriors this year, but in the next 5 years, you got to break through and win multiple championships for this to be a real success. It has to be. Otherwise, you're the 08 Celtics. They won a title, yay. They didn't win enough. Kobe and Pau Gasol won more than they did.
Do you consider the Cleveland Cavaliers the last 4 years since LeBron came back a successful stretch for them?
Again, that one's complex to me.
Like, it's not to me. They won one and they got bested the other three times.
But it's Cleveland, and they didn't
have a championship, but I'm saying
it's
take that away for a second. Just, you know, they had a clear path to the finals every year.
I don't want to give LeBron any credit ever, but like... Cleveland is different. They hadn't won anything since the 60s. Anything in anything. No titles in any sport. Like, that one's almost its own separate category.
Yeah, but what do the Indians and the Browns have to do with LeBron? I mean, that doesn't matter.
Like, what I would say is, has LeBron won enough in his career? No. Like, that one's easy. Did LeBron win enough? No. Did Peyton Manning win enough? No. Did A-Rod win enough? No. Like, those ones are all easy. So, like, if you want to make it a LeBron discussion, did LeBron win enough? No. But winning one in Cleveland, that's like winning multiple championships anywhere else. Like, those poor, pathetic saps, they needed something. They needed a scrap thrown their way, and they got it.
I mean, they finished first in the division every year. They won 53, 57, 51 last year, 50 games. They were in the finals all four times, and they only won one. I mean, that's one loss away from being the Buffalo Bills,
isn't it? You're not that far off from being the Bills or the Braves. I mean, you're like the Braves, actually, is what you are.
Yeah.
You're the Atlanta Braves. Except, again, it's just... It was so low before LeBron, and it's going to be so low again now that he's gone. I love it. LeBron on his way out. Yeah, Collins. Hey. Colin Sexton's my favorite player in the draft. Yeah. Draft him. I'll stay. No. Really, this time I'll stay. Draft Colin Sexton a week later. Boom. Gone to L.A. Rubbing elbows with the stars. Having brunch with Maria Shriver out there in Brentwood.
Did he do that to the Heat, too?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Hey, Shabazz Napier.
That's right. It was Napier.
Local guy. Shabazz Napier.
Love that guy.
Yeah. No, he's my favorite player. Oh, I love Shabazz Napier. Yeah. Draft him. I'll stay. Pat Riley leaves.
Yeah, but at least he didn't have the Heat make a trade with the Cavs to clear cap space for the Cavs so he could go sign with Cleveland.
That's a very good point.
That is a good point.
Larry Nance and Clarkson, that opened it up. Opened the door.
Grease the skids. Yeah. Now, anyone who does, like, LeBron's known for, I think, over a year where he was going. People act like same thing with Tavares. Oh, Jones, John Tavares didn't know. He was wrestling with the decision over the last week, Jones. He's not a diva. He really had emotions about this. He wanted to go back to the island. It's just, he slept in Toronto Maple Leafs Jam Jams and, has a picture of him in his sheets, nestled up in a little Maple Leafs blankie. He's known for like a year, I'm sure. He's been turning down the Islanders for 2 years. He knew where he was going. Same thing with LeBron. Like, LeBron knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And so, yes, all those moves that were made last year with LeBron, yep. He probably knew he was helping his situation, and he didn't care, because he doesn't care about Northeast Ohio. He wants you to think he cares about Northeast Ohio. He wants you to think he cares about winning there, when the reality is it was just most convenient. LeBron doesn't care about Cleveland. He doesn't care about Northeast Ohio or Akron. He wanted to go win there because it was most convenient. And if he could spin a nice story on the side, fine. They had the first pick. They had Kyrie. That was the best avenue for him. Just like the Lakers with cap space and a bunch of young players, that's the best avenue for him now. He doesn't care about Cleveland. He doesn't care about Ohio. He doesn't care about the Cavs. He doesn't care about any of that. He thought he could go win there. It was most convenient, and maybe win back the PR battle a little bit, too, which he was successful in. He was definitely successful in that. So that's why he went there. He didn't go there because he loves it there, and he just proved it. He just took a big dump on Cleveland again on his way out the door and left them high and dry with Colin Sexton at 8. So he does it all the time. He's done it. It's the fourth time he's done it in his career. He left Cleveland with nothing the first time. He left Miami with nothing. He's now left Cleveland with nothing for the second time. This is the fourth time he's done it. Okay? Like, it's what he does.
Yeah.
If you're getting fooled by that, I don't know what to tell you.
You get drawn in. These GMs, these fans, these other players, everybody sort of gets, here's LeBron. I mean, and it's not like this is the first or even second time. LeBron James is almost, 33 years old here? I mean, this is it. This is probably where he's going to end his career, right? You would think?
Actually, this time I believe this is where he ends his career.
Yeah.
I think there's significance in him signing a
four-year deal.
If you really want to know. I think that's a message to Kawhi or anybody else. Hey, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not bolting in a year like I was always threatening to do in Cleveland. I'm here. So don't worry about me being here if you're thinking about, signing off on trading here or staying here long-term. I'm here long-term. I think that's the significance behind him signing a four-year deal as opposed to a 1-1.
Yeah, and that was, I think, a real problem and a real reason why the Cavs were unable to sort of put anything else around him after that.
It's why Kyrie bolted.
It's why he left. It's why they couldn't get anyone back in that next offseason. It's why, Isaiah Thomas and all those guys sort of, flamed out anyway. They traded them all away, brought in a whole new group of people, and they didn't work either. And it's sort of like, well, okay, this isn't working. I'm going to go. And Kyrie's got to be looking at this going, man, I really made the right move here.
Oh.
Forcing my way out of town was the smartest thing I ever did.
The biggest winner of this whole development is Kyrie.
Definitely.
Kyrie saw this coming. I said, the day Kyrie forced his way out of Cleveland, I'm like, he's brilliant. He knows LeBron's going to leave him in the lurch, and then you're stuck in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Then you're stuck in that dump. And he said, no. I'm not going to go into my free agent year stuck in Cleveland without LeBron. I'm going to leave LeBron before LeBron leaves me. Kyrie's the biggest winner in all of this. And again, I already hashed this out a year ago. This was not hard to predict. This was not hard to see coming. The biggest winner is Kyrie, because he left LeBron before LeBron could leave him. Kyrie's actually smart. I mean, he's not always the smartest guy in the room like he's convinced himself he is.
Maybe not like book smart.
Yeah, he's not quite as smart as he thinks he is, but he was smart enough to leave LeBron before LeBron left him. 617-779-0985. A lot of you waiting patiently, including Mark in Medford. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Hi, Mark.
Yankees Red Sox, you mentioned earlier in the show, it was the first hour of the show, that the last three games of the season, they play each other.
Yeah, I think they play each other twice in the last four series or something
like that. The last 12 games of the season, they play six times.
Okay? Yep.
And in the words of Mike Selger, they're porked. They're not going to win the AL East.
If
they're behind any amount of games, and they're going to play each other six times in the last 12, the Red Sox are porked.
Well, so I don't love how they match up with the Yankees, Christian, but I think they could finish ahead of them, if that makes sense. Like, if you get in a series with the Yankees, I think the Yankees are able to capitalize on some of your flaws. But I don't know, over 162 games, I think the Red Sox have an offense that matches up. You know, I'd take the Yankees' offense over theirs, but their offense matches up.
Mm-hmm.
Their starting pitching's better. Their bullpen's not all that far off.
Starting pitching's better right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, if the Yankees go out and trade for Syndergaard or something, then I'll change my tune.
Sure.
But right now, and I understand there's upside for the Yankees really improving, but you just said it. Last year we thought they improved. They got Sonny Gray and Todd Frazier, and those guys stunk. So if the big fish they land is Jay Happ, I don't really change my opinion on the Yankees. If the big fish they land is like DeGrom or Syndergaard or even Cole Hamels, well, then maybe I'll change my attitude. I think the Red Sox may be able to win the AL East. I think if they get, I actually still pick them to win the AL East. I think if you get in a seven game, and I did that before the year, I haven't wavered off of that yet. Maybe I'll change my tune by the trade deadline. If you get in a seven game series with the Yankees, I think they match up well with you. So I definitely do. Am I sitting the fence on that? Am I flip flopping on that? I don't know, but like, I think the Red Sox over 162 against a bunch of crappy teams could eke out New York. I think in a seven-game series head-to-head, they don't match up well.
Let me ask you this, then. Going into the last 2 weeks of the season, how big of a lead do the Red Sox need to have over the Yankees? Because they play them six times in the last 2 weeks.
Okay, great point. And that's what he was getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you have that big of a lead? Probably not.
Six games, seven games, eight games? No, they probably won't have anything close. But I'm saying it won't be that.
No. But it doesn't need to be.
Probably be like two or three games.
They're not going to lose all six against New York, are they?
No, probably not.
Yeah, it probably has to be two or three. Are they that much better?
They lose four out of six.
Are they that much better? Yeah, probably not.
If you're within a game or two in that final series, could you possibly think about pitching Price in a game?
Hell no. God no.
You might have to pull him and not start
him. Steven Wright out there ahead of him.
I mean,
That's a serious consideration going into the final weekend.
This is a good question, Jim. What do they come up with for a fake injury? You can't use Fortnite anymore. You can't use video games anymore. How do you get David Price to duck the Yankees late in the year?
Saving him for the wild card or the wild card.
That's a good one. Yeah, we're lining up our pitching staff. That's a good one. Pollen levels. I think he gave us the whole list, actually. High pollen levels, dogs, cats, too hot, too cold, freshly cut grass. I mean, I lied, actually. I said video games before and what crazy thing are they going to come up with? He already gave us the whole list. Too hot, too cold, dogs, cats, freshly cut grass, high pollen levels, really high pollen levels. Like, oh yeah, you know what? He was on his way to work and a black cat crossed in front of him and somebody was mowing their lawn and, you know, he got a few clippings in his face and you know what? He's a scratch tonight. He can't go. That's how you get him to duck the Yankees.
And they also just made a new gun available on Fortnite that you can download. So, you know, that knocks out at least a couple hours.
What excuse will they come up with in September to duck the Yankees? This is a fun game. 617-779-0985. Why don't you send those in? At AdamJones98.5, at Christian Arcand on Twitter. Those are always fun to play. And how will David Price duck the Yankees next time? Or at least in those big games in September? 617-779-0985. We'll get to all your feedback. And another big story happened this weekend. John Tavares went home. Back to the Toronto Maple Leafs, where he grew up rooting for them in his little jammies, in his Toronto Maple Leafs blankie, and the Bruins' dud of an offseason continues. We'll get to that next.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is a big day for the Toronto Maple Leafs, no matter how you slice it, even if you're not a fan of the Leafs. It's like Max said earlier, you're adding a star player, a superstar player in the prime of his career. This is not some 35-year-old. This guy's right in the prime of his career, excited to be here, makes other players better, has no experience with winning because he never had a chance to win, but when he's been with the Canadian teams, he has, and when he's played for his country. I think it's a huge day no matter how you slice it, and it's a free player. I know people say $77 million, that's not free. They got a guy that went first overall without giving up even a seventh-round draft pick. This is a big day for the Leafs, no matter what team you cheer for.
Oh, my God. Where was that, Jim? Sportsnet in Canada?
Yeah, Brian Burke.
Brian Burke, Sportsnet in Canada. So you know him, former GM of the Maple Leafs.
Sure.
Flames, et cetera, et cetera.
Father of Patrick Burke.
Yes. It is Adam Jones, Christian Arcand. We're here till 2 o'clock. We're taking your phone calls, 617-779-0985. The Tavares stuff is, I mean, again, without David Price getting his doors blown off on national TV and LeBron bolting to L.A., which happened earlier than I anticipated, by the way. I thought he'd drag it out a little bit more. Tavares would have been a bigger story, which shame on you, John. You should have capitalized on the window you had last week instead of drawing this out like a diva, like a narcissist, like you're Kevin Durant in the Hamptons. Instead of dragging it out so long, you wound up getting drowned out by all of the other news in sports. You know, you're a hockey player, John. Okay? You are not in the LeBron James stratosphere. Like you don't move the needle like LeBron.
No.
So congratulations. You waited to make your announcement. You got drowned out by the NBA. Congrats. But like that is Canadian excuse making at its finest, huh? Good old Ontario, down to earth, good little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make excuses for John Tavares. Wow. Wow. And I'm almost to the point where I'm happy the Bruins didn't get him. Like, with all of the red flags and question marks around him, and I've been through them, and I can detail them in a minute, I'm almost happy the Bruins didn't get him in their dud of an offseason to this point, which can change. One of the things they have to go to with John Tavares is he won with the Canadian national team.
Yeah. Which is a very difficult thing to do, by
that's
the way.
That's like me, you know, and I like Boogie Cousins. We were just talking off the air about Boogie Cousins. That's like me being like, well, Boogie Cousins won with Team USA. Boogie Cousins has won gold.
Yeah.
Or like Carmelo. Carmelo's won gold. Like, that's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he won with the Canadian national team.
JaVale McGee just won NBA championship.
Yeah, I'd hope he won with the Canadian national team. They're the most talented team out there every single year. Like, I'd hope he won. Wow. Good. That's like giving Carmelo credit. So you know you're talking about a loser.
Right.
When in Canada, you have to be like, well, he won with the Canadian team. Yeah, when he was like the 10th best forward. Like, you know, he didn't have to carry that team. He was along for the ride. Of course. Of course he won. He was a depth piece along for the ride on Team Canada. That's how talented they are.
Christian Laettner won a gold medal with the Dream
Team
in 92.
Right. Carmelo's won, Jones. Boogie Cousins has won. Like, that's so pathetic. Canadian excuse making for their Ontario good boy who came home to the Leafs, Brian Burke. And like, talk about a guy who hasn't won squat. I forgive me. I know you've heard this spiel multiple times now sitting across from me. I've yelled it at you know, into the ether now
it's
for a
okay.
week straight.
I tune you out. So.
Most do. I've been yelling this into the ether for a week straight, so forgive me, but I need to scratch the itch. If this were a Red Sox free agent, the way we were talking about him in Boston, if this were a Red Sox free agent, who, by the way, was acting like a diva, having everybody come out to the West Coast to kiss his feet, and who there were questions about the sensibilities of how he would fit in Boston, okay, there are already those question marks, red flags, around John Tavares. Then we get to his postseason track record, which individually is spectacular. That's probably a little strong, but he's about a point per game guy in the postseason. Something like 22 points in 24 games. Okay, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So individually, he's been great in the postseason. But you just heard it there from Brian Burke. Oh, well, you know, it's not his fault they lost. Is it not? He's the captain of the team. And he's supposed to be one of the best players on the planet.
Sure.
So how has he only been to the playoffs three times in 9 years? He's going into his 10th year in the league, a decade in the league, Arcan. He's been out of the first round once. One time.
Yeah.
And the team he beat was a doormat Florida Panthers team to get waxed in the second round in five games by Tampa Bay. That's the same thing happened to the Bruins, by the way. You know, we call that a John Tavares. You lose in five games to Tampa in the second round, that's a John Tavares. That's as far as he's ever been. He was the number one overall pick. And I've said this a bunch too, the five number one overall picks previous to John Tavares, four of them have been to a cup final. Steven Stamkos has been there but hasn't won.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them have won the cup.
Multiple times.
Well, no.
Ovechkin.
Three
Sorry,
of them have
right.
won. Ovechkin's yeah, yeah. only won one. Two of them have won multiple cups. Pat Kane and Sid Crosby. Like, does he deserve to be in that group?
No. But if I'm going to take...
Definitely not.
If I'm to take a crack at this argument, which I'm not saying this is my belief, but I'd say this is what people say. He was an impact player in that he brought them to the playoffs. And without him, that's as good as that team was.
But
his
didn't.
Impact was to get him there.
Yeah, except my retort would be he didn't, though. He got to the playoffs three times in 9 years in a league where more than half the teams make the postseason.
But like, his impact was to get that bad team to the playoffs.
But he didn't. He didn't. He got there three times in 9 years.
That's what I mean. In those three times.
But so one-third of the time he just got to the playoffs and then got smoked? How impressive is that? If this guy's actually good, how impressive is that? I shouldn't say actually good. If he's actually great... You know, like, how impressive is that? So every third year you make the playoffs and get bounced in the first round, basically. Yeah. Once every 9 years, if you're lucky, he gets to the second round and then wins a game and loses in five. So, like, in a league where it's not hard to make the playoffs. This isn't the NFL, where 12 out of the 32 make it. More than half the league makes the playoffs. Now, yeah. Now 16 out of 31, but for most of his career, it's been 16 out of 30. So in a league where it's easy to make the playoffs, it's kind of a joke if you just make the playoffs. He gets them there one-third of the time, and he lucked into against the Florida Panthers doormat. He got to the second round one time, and now what? All of a sudden, we're supposed to let this guy off the hook for playoff failures? No. So that's Brian Burke, and you know, that's just everybody getting into rooting for the Maple Leafs mode. It's
yeah.
just, oh, we're just, hey, he, our favorite son has come home. That's just cheerleading is all that is.
If you would, all right, let's say this then. If you subbed out Tavares and say Patrick Kane was on those Islanders teams, or even Sidney Crosby was on those Islanders teams all those years, do you think they would have done much better?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Like, more than three playoff appearances, like, or like a Stanley Cup better?
I don't know if those guys win a cup, but they make the playoffs more than three times. They get out of the first round more than once. Yes, I believe that. Would they have been good enough to win a cup with what he had around him on the island? Probably not. Would they have been good enough to make the playoffs just about every year and get out of the first round more than once? Yeah.
I think
Sidney Crosby could have done that.
I'd
yeah.
say that's 50-50, but also then you have to consider that you'd put Tavares on a team with Jonathan Toews or on a team with, what's his name, over there in Pittsburgh, the big Malkin or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, and that's
those teams are different. Those teams are more talented. Sure. I got it.
Much more talented and not terribly managed and not just a total dumpster fire for most of the time that he had been there.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's a thing you have to consider.
So, I consider it. I think even considering that, It's just you ignore it because he had no help around him, and it's a poorly run franchise. So you just ignore all of the shortcomings. The shortcomings are staggering with him. Staggering. Like, it's not like he's in the playoffs every year. He's not even Chris Bosh to crossover sports. He's not even Chris Bosh with the Raptors. Like, Chris Bosh made the playoffs every year and, like, won the Atlantic Division in Toronto with, like, no help. Okay? So, like, you know, if he was at least doing that, and you're like, okay, how's Chris Bosh supposed to win? You know, if it's, I don't know, give me an example in baseball of somebody with no help around him. Chris Sale. You know, if it's Chris Sale, he's got no help around him. He never pitches in the postseason. I had the same questions about Chris Sale before he got here. So, like, to me, that's the difference. You know, you're in the playoffs every year and you're giving it your best, but you're clearly outgunned. Fine. Not only was this guy outgunned, he couldn't even get into the postseason. In a league where I got news for you. It's pretty easy to make the postseason. 617-779-0985. Add John Tavares to the list. We got a lot of you waiting patiently. We have today's takeaways coming up about 20 minutes from now. Arcan with all the latest in your hub headlines, and we'll get to your phone calls next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
LeBron James, newest member of the Los Angeles Lakers, according to a tweet from Clutch Sports Group last night. It was a short, paragraph-long press release. James signing a four-year, $154 million deal last night. And he got a little bit of help, too, as well. Very little bit, I should say. As ESPN reporting, Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee will also be signing one-year deals to join the Lakers. Aaron Gordon did not join the Lakers. He re-upped with the Magic, a four-year contract. Kawhi Leonard wants to go to the Lakers, but the Spurs don't want to trade him there. J.J. Redick re-signed with the Sixers, a one-year deal worth between $12 and $13 million, although I'm reading now it's closer to $13. And Celtics rookie Robert Williams, who missed his flight to Boston over the weekend and was absent from the start of Celtics Summer League practice, is there today, according to Adam Himmelsbach. Williams did arrive and is practicing. Red Sox blown out by the Yankees last night, 11-1, your final score in the Bronx. David Price was brutal. 8 earned runs over just 3 1/3 innings, allowed 5 home runs. 3 of those home runs were hit by Greg Bird, although one of them not off David Price. Price falls to 9-6 on the year. Not Greg Bird, sorry, Aaron Hicks. It was Aaron Hicks, not Bird. Those two teams, Red Sox and Yankees, tied atop the AL East standings. They will not play each other again until mid-August, but the Red Sox are off to Washington tonight. First of three against the Nationals. Rick Porcello and Max Scherzer is the pitching matchup. And the Bruins were busy yesterday. They signed 7 players on the first day of free agency, among them goaltender Yaroslav Halak, who will be taking over for Anton Khudobin, backing up Tuukka Rask. Khudobin signing a 2-year deal with the Dallas Stars. Bruins also picking up defenseman John Moore and Walpole native Chris Wagner. John Tavares agreed to a 7-year deal with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And in World Cup action today, Brazil blank Mexico 2-0. Brazil is off to the quarterfinals, and Belgium and Japan kick off in just about 30 minutes. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Stoneham Bank. If you need a bank, make it Stoneham Bank. Expect more, get more, do more. That's the Stoneham Bank way. Learn more now at StonehamBank.com. I'm Christian Arcand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 2.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.139 here on the Sports Sub. Adam Jones, Christian Arcand, taking you up until 2 o'clock in for Zoe and Beetle. We got today's takeaways on the way, a little over 10 minutes from now. And in the meantime, I want to tell you about the Sports Sub American Red Cross Blood Drive on Saturday, July 14th. You can donate from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Best Western in Woburn. There will be raffles. There will be games throughout the day. Walk-ins are also welcome. Or you can schedule your appointment by visiting redcrossblood.org. Again, redcrossblood.org. It's the Sports Hub American Red Cross Blood Drive on Saturday from 10 to 3:30 at the Best Western in Woburn. Again, Saturday, July 14th. We got a lot of people waiting patiently, and we'll knock out some phone calls here coming up, 617-779-0985. Just quickly, Arcan.
Yes?
This can all change, okay? This can all change. I said this when the Bruins lost out on Kovalchuk on draft weekend. And I wanted Kovalchuk. I know not everyone did. But that's now two free agents, not one. Everyone's acting like it's one that turned his back on Boston. It's two big-time free agents that have turned their back on the Bruins. Meanwhile, the Celtics are landing free agents left and right. It's like, in the NBA, Boston's a destination. In the NHL, you might not even be able to land the Russian past his prime, Ilya Kovalchuk. So that's now two free agents that have turned them down. And I started saying this on draft weekend. Like, it's been a dud of an offseason so far for Don Sweeney. And that can change. You know, you turn around and you trade for Panarin, Simmons, Skinner. You know, you do something like that.
Still moves to be made out there.
There are still moves to be made. So if and when they make them, I'll change my tune. But right now, they have a giant hole in their top six because Rick Nash left and may retire. Okay? I feel like this guy they signed from the Devils, John Moore, who's on, I think, his fourth or fifth team now, like, he feels like the new Nick Holden to me. I heard all this crap about Nick Holden. Oh, he's a top four guy. Oh, he's going to get all these minutes. Oh, he's going to bump Torrey Krug down to a third pair power play specialist. And then Nick Holden couldn't get on the ice. He's a healthy scratch. They're paying him less than $3 million a year. Like, how good do people think this guy is? So I feel like he's like a Nick Holden replacement. I think the bums they signed for their bottom six. Who are they again? Well, I know we'll get one of them in today's takeaways. Like the grinder, Zach Rinaldo 2.0. Like the guy who throws around his body, and then Nordstrom, where your wife goes to blow your whole paycheck, Nordstrom. Like these guys in the bottom six, they feel like a downgrade from Riley Nash, and Tim Schaller, who I thought was good on the fourth line last year. Nothing special, but 12 goals. Those guys feel like a downgrade. You tell me. I know Yaroslav Halak, the Halak Nest monster. I know he has the name recognition, but you tell me, who would you rather have? Khudobin or Yaro Halak with a .319 goals against, .908 save percentage? He had a .28 goals against the year before, by the way. And I know it's the island. I know it's the New York Islanders and nobody can win that. Like, it feels like they downgraded a backup goaltender.
They did.
Feels like they downgraded in their bottom six. Feels like their defense is spinning their wheels. Maybe John Moore will be an addition. I'll acknowledge that one. And they have a gaping hole in their top six. Oh, and they didn't have a first-round pick on top of it. Because the gaping hole in their top six, Rick Nash, they gave up their first-round pick for him. It's been a dud of an offseason. It feels like they're worse. And by the way, Toronto got better with John Tavares. And Tampa, who made a big move at the deadline and made a good move at the deadline, unlike Sweeney, just signed their trade deadline acquisition, Ryan McDonough, to an extension.
Yeah.
So, like, it's been a dud of an offseason to this point for the Bruins. I don't even think you can argue that.
And it's compounded by the fact that these other teams are still getting better.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can have a dud off season once in a while if the other teams around you don't all, you know, either retain what they need or go out and get some big whale like John Tavares, but that's exactly what happened, and now the Bruins are just sort of sitting there twiddling their thumbs. And by the way, the bottom six forwards, that's, I think, 100% a downgrade. Riley Nash and Tim Schaller both moved on, right?
Yes. So these guys... Schaller's in Vancouver, and Riley Nash went to Columbus, I think.
So Joakim Nordstrom and Chris Wagner are supposed to replace them?
Wagner is Ronaldo 2.0. He gets a lot of hits. Like, that's important in today's NHL. You want fast, skilled guys. You don't want big, dumb, you know, hitters. You don't want that anymore.
That's a Jamaica playing mentality.
Oh, I know. There's more of that in today's takeaways. Don't you worry. That's not what you want. You don't want the guy who's going to staple him to the boards. You don't want that. You don't want Zach Rinaldo. You want skill. Okay, and I'm not telling you Schaller is like the greatest player of all time, but he had 12 goals last year.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was pretty good for a fourth line player.
Wagner was a minus 11. He's a minus 11 in his career.
Do you have the number? Like, can the guy score at all?
I just had him and I closed it.
I think, like, the bottom of your six is not a big deal. Okay? Or your bottom six, rather, is not a big deal. But it feels like they downgraded there. Your backup goaltender is not a huge deal, though, as we learned last year, pushing Tuukka is important. And you just brought in a guy with a 3+ goals against average last year and a 2.8 goals against the year before. I wish they had Hudobin back. And their top six are still a giant, gaping hole. So, yeah, it's been a dud of an offseason. Sweeney can fix that. Sweeney can change it, but it's been a dud to this point. 617-779-0985. Yeah, Chris Wagner. He's from JP.
Wagner last year.
That's a Jamaica plane mentality.
Great. 79 games, 7 goals, 9 assists, was a minus 10.
So, you know what? Seven goals actually is better than I thought. It's not as good as Schaller, but it's better than I thought. 617-779-0985. Let's get to some phone calls here. Dennis is in Whitman. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, what's going on, Jonesy? Love the show. You guys are doing a great job.
Appreciate it.
Listen, the reason I'm calling is to take my medicine like a man. I called on Friday and I talked to Zoran Beetle. I told him that Price was probably going to have a good outing. I thought he was going to go 6 2/3, 8 strikeouts. I didn't think we were going to win because Severino's a beast. But I don't know. Maybe I get caught up in my fandom. Maybe I got a little bit fooled by the past few starts. But instead, I thought maybe he was going to reach down, grab his baseballs, and for once, pitch like a man against the Yankees. But instead, we got Fortnite playing, allergy-having, excuse-making David Price, and it was just horrible to watch. I couldn't stand it. And the worst part was, at the end of the game, he can't even take responsibility for his terrible pitching. He's like, oh, well, they got some good swings on what I thought were good pitches.
No, Dennis.
No, David. Yeah.
Dennis, even worse, he said he might be tipping pitches. It's like you're so delusional. You don't even realize you suck. You don't even know. You don't even understand that you suck. You think you're tipping pitches, David? Every time you play the Yankees, you're tipping pitches. You don't even understand that. Like, he's delusional. He's not just bad. He's delusional. How about Sean and Everett on the Bruins? Go ahead, Sean.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I think the Bruins obviously are keeping hold. They're making a lot of subpar acquisitions this offseason thus far. Obviously missed out on some big signings. We need to get a top six guy. Obviously, we've had some talks. I've heard we've had talks with, the likes of Simmons and Panarin. But Don Sweeney's really got to go out there and get a top six guy because there's obviously that gaping hole there. And, upgrading or downgrading in these matters in the bottom six or – our backup goaltender.
So
he's definitely not going to help us move ahead in this division.
So
the other team's moving hard.
Sean, you make a good point. And Christian, like, the Bruins, didn't they have $12 million in salary cap space the other day?
Yes.
I think I read Haggerty today. They're down to like four. So maybe I'm around. Maybe I don't have the exact number, but they're down to like four. And look at what they signed. Like, they signed Chris Wagner and Nordstrom and Halak, John Moore. Like, that's where your cap space went?
Yeah, down to 4.23.
That's where your cap space went on those guys. So, like, that should be a red flag, too. They just had $12 million in cap space. I thought we were going after the top six. So, again, if Sweeney turns around and trades Torey Krug for Panarin, I'm on board. I like Krug, okay? So, if he turns around and trades him for Panarin, I'm on board. If he turns around and trades him for Simmons, I like Simmons, but it's 1 year. There's a little more gray area there. Skinner has some question marks. Injury history, he is like a legit one-way player. He's not a Claude guy, I can tell you that. And he's dirty, too. He'd be like another Marchand slew-footing people taking liberties.
Probably.
But so if Sweeney does that, then we'll rethink it. But right now, it feels like they got worse, and they're wasting the cap space they had. 617-779-0985. Felger or Maz? And it's Felger and Maz? They come your way at the top of the hour. You can start lining up with all your phone calls. We got today's takeaways on the way next.
They give.
Give it to me.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's
today's takeaways, 98.5 The Sports Sub. It is brought to you by Awaken 180. And it's time for Awaken 180, your weight loss takeaway. Take away your excess weight with Awaken 180 Weight Loss, the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. So, Arcan, we're out in the daylight today.
Yeah, right.
night show takeover.
Enjoying that natural light in here.
Yeah, meanwhile, they've been stripping They've been stripping the walls of everything in here. They're like, I was afraid they were going to carry out the desk we were sitting at, the microphones we were using, mid-show here today. But they've been carrying everything out. But I would say outside of that, it's been a pretty standard day. Pretty standard day on the midday show. I guess this gentleman calls quite frequently. He doesn't call us a lot at night. But I was it Paulie? Paulie in the truck? Paulie?
Yeah. Paulie in the truck, Paulie in Dedham, yeah.
Paulie in the truck, Paulie in Dedham. Thank you, Jim. I guess he calls frequently, and he wasn't thrilled with some of my analysis, and let's just say I wasn't thrilled with his either. That's about Paulie in Dedham. What's up, Paulie?
What's up, Paulie? Hey, what do you say, boys?
Hey, Paulie.
Okay, a couple of things on both on hockey. I want Tavares, the other one, the free agent signing.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I tried to call your producers, and I tried to get on Fletcher and Rich last week as soon as I heard, and I spoke with one of your producers on the afternoon drive show. As soon as I heard that Tavares' old lady took a job in Toronto,
yep.
I said, this thing's over. Stop wasting your time talking about it. Everybody's just being called in for leverage. She takes a job now. I mean, she gives her a couple of perfect timing. Gives her a couple of months to acclimate herself to the position, so he doesn't have to hear if I'm about a new position. She's still working out the wrinkles. When he decided
sure.
him to go to work, he's got a little, he sees what LeBron did in Cleveland. He sees Toronto right on the cusp. They got plenty of good players in there. They're not one of the elite teams in the East. They're up there with everybody right now.
Right.
They can beat anybody at any point right now. They're going to strengthen their defense a little bit, but they're as good forwards as anybody in the league right now.
Yes, Paulie.
That was obvious.
Yes.
Now let me get. I'm going to get.
Oh, you have more.
My quick on the free agent signings.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Wagner, great pickup. I grew up on his father.
Hang on, Paulie, hang on. Is Chris Wagner the guy who just hits everybody?
Yeah, he's third in the league in hits, and I can see that. That's a Jamaica playing mentality. His father, grandfather.
Does he have? I thought Jimmy Hayes. I thought had a Dorchester personality.
Let me finish.
Paulie, you've had way too much time. Don't tell me to let you finish. You've had more than enough time. Way too much time. He really did, though.
He spent the first 30 seconds talking about all the producers he's called and been rejected by,
yep.
I think. That's how that call started.
That's pretty standard.
But he did stick the landing with the Jamaica plane mentality.
Yes. Whenever you can get a local guy, they always work out here in Boston.
Definitely.
Like Jimmy Hayes.
That's a Jamaica plane mentality.
Yep, that's what you want. Not speed or skill, just the Jamaica plane mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It worked so well, again, with the Dorchester mentality.
Sure.
From Jimmy Hayes. By the way, the Bruins might be in on his brother Kevin Hayes, according to the New York Post.
Oh, nice.
Another story for another day. Meanwhile, David Price had quite the outing, didn't he, last night? To the point where a catcher that you've never heard of, who hit 191 in AAA, 28-year-old bum journeyman, Higgy? Whatever Higgy's name actually is. Hit a home run off David Price when they were talking him up on Sunday Night Baseball. We'll get to that. But first, aren't you curious how it sounded on WFAN, how John Sterling and Susan Waldman sounded on the call?
1-2. Swung on and hit in the air to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Second deck. His first major league hit is a home run against the Red Sox. How do you like that? Higashioka. The home run stroker. He homers to left, and the Yankees take a 7-0 lead.
And boy, that dugout is alive, and Higgy trying not to really spy. You want to be professional, right? And he goes in there, and so they're giving him the silent treatment, and they're coming and hugging him. Marcus Timms giving him this. He's going down, high-fiving himself.
That's
now they're all coming
nice.
Out and jumping on him.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific, Susan. Don't you love to see that, Susan? Yes, Susan.
You think Sterling freestyled that the home run stroker, or do you think he had that one like written down on a list of that he was gonna if the opportunity arose?
So I am fascinated by this. And by the way, I like the home run stroker. I don't know how often you're going to be able to use that one. Hopefully, only if he's facing David Price, I think.
Right.
The guy was hitting 191 in AAA. He's a bum.
Not a lot of options. There's Choka, Polka, Stroka. Let's go with Stroka.
I'm fascinated by the way he does it. I'm fascinated by the way he comes up with it, like his system. You know? Does he plan those out?
I'm not familiar with his method.
I wish I knew more about that. As someone who's done a John Sterling impression, I wish I knew more about that. What's his system? What's his process? How does he come up with it? How does, you know, like, you don't just go into the, you don't just go in and come up with Porcel Blow just on the fly, Arcan. Like, there's a lot of work that goes into that.
You gotta go in the lab.
Yeah, the little leader doesn't just come to you. You know, there's a process to these things, you know? Like, you have to do some work. You have to do a couple of rough drafts. Like, go through some material. Oh, this one didn't work. Cross that one off the list.
Test audience with a two-way mirror, you know, see how they respond to it.
I just wonder if that's what he does. Does he ask anyone else? Are these his own? Does he go outside? Or are they just him? That's what I want to know. I'd be fascinated to know that about John Sterling. But Higashioka, the home run stroker, eh, Susan? That'll do it for us. Quality, I think, 4-hour program. Arcan and myself back tomorrow at 10 with much, much more to discuss. Stay tuned for Felger and Madison.